This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, and if you have a legal question, I'm here. That's what I'm here for today. I'm here to answer those questions to the best of my ability and get you pointed in the right direction, give you a little legal advice. The purpose of the show is just that. No other purpose, no commercials on the show either. 52-minute straight run of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. We have a caller already before we even get started, hardly. Let's go to Mike in Tampa. Mike, are you there? All right, let's go to Mike in Tampa. All right, so we have a little technical... Oh, here we go. Mike in Tampa. Mike, are you there? All right, we're going to pause that. Let me start the show the way I normally start. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, and we are host of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law for over almost 35 years now next month. It's a call-in show where you can call in and ask your legal questions. They can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorney, health care surrogates, living wills. It can be just about any area of the law. And we have a toll-free number for you to call the show, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And the phone lines are open, and we're here to help you in any way we can. Let's go to Mike. Mike, are you there? All right. Mike, are you there? All right. We having a little trouble connecting with Mike. Whenever your producer's running around punching the same button four or five times and nothing's happening, you know there's there's a little problem. A lot of questions we'll get on the show are about wills and trust and probate and guardianship and power of attorneys and healthcare surrogates and Medicaid and those type of questions. And if you can have a question or concern in any of those areas, you can call the show or listen to the show, and we have multiple lines here. Hopefully one of these will work pretty soon. And I don't... All right. Hello? Mike, are you there?
Yes. Can you
All
hear
right.
Me?
Very good. Yes, finally.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, I'm sorry, but the line, I couldn't hear anything.
Okay, no problem.
Joe, thanks for taking my call. Here's the story. My question is, 5 weeks ago, I took my girlfriend to a minor league baseball game, and even though she was watching the game and paying attention, she got hit by a ball in the head because it was flying so fast. And she does not have insurance, does not have medical insurance. They had to rush her to the hospital. Thank God she's healing, but she's still in pain. And to make a long story short, we cannot find an attorney to represent her because these cases are very complicated. So my question is, can you think of anything else we can do? I mean, do you think that, like, if we got the medical bills and we sent them to the team or the stadium, do you think there's any chance that their insurance would help us out?
Well, have you talked to anybody at the stadium at all?
Yeah, they called me the next day to check on her, and they pretty much told me that, they stamped the back of the ticket that you're responsible for any injuries, and they essentially said that they wouldn't help us. So that's why we started looking for a lawyer, and I spoke to nine different attorneys. One of them sort of wanted to take it but said he had a conflict, but in general they said that these cases are very complicated, especially since the stadium is not owned by the team, it's owned by the municipality, and apparently when there's government involvement, I don't know exactly, these cases drag on or something, but I can't find an attorney to help her, and she's going to be getting all these medical bills.
So yeah. Why don't you email me and email me your name and phone number and tell me you'd like for me to connect you with a personal injury attorney that we use for most of our referrals on our cases, and I'll talk to him myself a little bit and see if we can come up with something for you.
All right, super. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. You have my email address?
Yeah, it's on your website, yeah.
Okay, it's just joe@attypip.com.
All right, super. All right, well, thank you.
Appreciate
all right,
thanks.
I'll do that today.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Amanda in Parrish. Amada. All right, Amada? Are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, very good. How do you spell your name?
My name is spelled A, M as in Mary, A as in Anna, D as in David, A as in Anna.
Okay.
Amada.
Amada, okay.
Right, Amada.
My producer spelled your name Amda. So I thought it was abbreviation for Amanda.
A lot of people call me Amanda, but my name is not Amanda.
All right, what can I do for you?
Okay, I have. I wanted to have work done around the Delaunay, and I hired this guy, and he hired somebody else to put the curb in. And he hasn't finished the job. Then he's telling me that I have to pay the guy that he hired that put the curb around around Delaunay.
Mm-hmm. Did you sign a contract?
So, no, I did not. So I just wanted to know if I'm liable for that. He's saying, "Oh, you are responsible because he did the work in your yard." But I don't even know how the guy looks like. He hired him. He came in and do the work. And then he never finished the job. The job hasn't been finished. He's supposed to put stones in it, And then he hires this guy. He never paid the guy. And then he's telling me that I have to pay him. So I want to know if I'm liable for that.
Well, the famous legal answer is it depends, unfortunately.
Right.
So here's what's going to happen, I think, mm-hmm. probably. So
right.
If you don't come up with an agreement to pay the guy something,
right,
he's going to put a lien on your property.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I never hired this guy.
I understand. I
don't even know how the guy looks like.
Yep. You can object to the lien, though. That would be your next step.
Oh, okay.
And then that puts it in dispute mode.
Okay.
And if he doesn't take it to court within a certain time period,
right,
then the lien goes away.
Oh, okay.
But the easier thing to do is write the guy a letter that, you didn't have a contract with him.
Yes, I didn't. I never signed anything. I don't even know his address. I don't even know the guy's name.
Yeah, well, you can contest the lien. Is he going to finish the job?
No, the guy that I hire, he's saying that I got to get somebody else to finish the job.
So what happened to him? Is he getting paid anything?
I pay him the half of the money, which it was $750. The agreement was, I think it was 14-something. I pay him, he says, you give me $750 first, and then when the job is finished, you give me the other half. But I think what happened was that he realized that the quote that he gave me on this job was not, what he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have come out and say, look, the amount that I gave you is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be more money. But he gave me, I have a receipt. And I got the canceled check that I pay him, mm-hmm. $750. And when he finished the job, putting the stones in, I was supposed to give him the other $750. And then he never came back. And then he says, oh, I have an emergency with my family or whatever. Mm-hmm. 2 months have gone by, he never came back, and now he's telling me that I have to pay the curb guy. And then he gave the curb guy my number, then the guy was threatening me, saying that he was going to come in and remove the curb. I said, but I don't know who you are. I said, I didn't hire you. I don't even know your name. Mm-hmm. I never seen you. You have to go after the person who hires you.
Well, let me ask you this. The person you gave the check to, is he licensed? Did you see a license?
I don't know if he's licensed. Well, I don't really know.
All right, check the county.
Uh-huh.
Check with the county to see if he's licensed.
Okay, because he has like a company name. Like,
yeah, we'll see if that company name is licensed to do contract work. That could be.
If it's not licensed, then what happens?
Well, then you tell him, look, can you show me your license? If you're doing this, you have to have a license. I don't want to know.
You have to have a license to do this job.
Yeah.
Okay.
He put himself out as a contractor.
So you're saying this guy can put a lien on my property.
The guy who actually did the work could.
Wait, what? He just did the curb. He didn't do the other work because he started with the stones.
Well,
but the job is not finished.
But it's not just him. Anybody can put a lien on your property, whether it's proper or not, or legal or not. But you have the right to contest it.
I have the right to contest it.
So once this guy... He has to go to court, file papers.
Okay. All right. Is that expensive to file papers to put a lien on a property?
No.
Okay. Like how much?
I don't have that number memorized. I mean, I could look it up real quick.
All right.
If you have any further problems, just contact me. I have an office in Sun City Center not too far from you as one of our offices, so we'll be glad to help you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your help.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. That's me, Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we are more than glad to be here and more than glad to help you in any way we possibly can. The show today is we're broadcasting in Tampa, Florida today. We're in the Salem Studio Complex, and Salem has four stations that carry the show, 570, 910, 860, 930. So all of those stations carry the show. We're also 90.3 FM in Central Florida, FM station. We have the Sun City Community Station, 96.3 FM. We have stations in Jacksonville. Station there is 600 WBOB AM on the dial. There's also an FM component to that station, as there are many stations. We're on about 14 stations around Florida carrying the show. If you have a legal question, you can call our toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. We even have a rock station in the Crystal River that carries the show on Saturday mornings. No matter where you are, you might be listening on your computer anywhere in the world, basically, you have a toll-free number to call at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Larry in Jacksonville. Hey, Larry.
Good morning. Is this Joe?
This is Joe.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
I've got an answer to the question I had last week. I'm calling for the benefit of somebody else that might have the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Transport to the hospital under Medicare Part A, just hospital,
mm-hmm.
does not pay transportation unless you are admitted as an inpatient subsequent to going to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
I did some research, and I was just throwing a heads up out there.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter who calls, whatever. I basically was abducted, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. And I won't burn any more of your time.
Are you the one that called last week?
Yes, it is. Yes, sir.
Okay, and did you get that squared away, though?
Well, yes and no. I've had four or five people send scams to me. So people, be careful. And the lady that just called about, you know, the contractor she had, be careful. If they get hurt on your property, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah, they put a lien on you, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know it all. And the lady that called in afterwards, after I talked, I read every scrap of mail I get. They didn't send me anything.
Okay.
Okay.
You can call Social Security and ask them why you're not getting your monthly report, though.
Yeah, you're right. All right. I do appreciate your time.
All right, no problem.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to Ron. Hello, Ron.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Okeechobee.
Okay.
I had a quick question for you. I got a flight on an airline that I bought non-refundable, and I'm not going to be able to go, so I'm going to cancel it. But in Pennsylvania, they had a law that said a service provider, if they don't give you the money back for a service not rendered, then they had to return it to the state. And I was wondering, does Florida have any similar law where I can sue either individually or as a class action for the millions of, in maybe even tens of millions, now hundreds of millions of dollars that the airlines collect that don't provide service? I mean, it's kind of a high order degree of theft.
Well, you could view it that way, but you could also view it as a contract. Some of those non-refundable, they have different price levels for, yeah. If you want to email me, I could give you a class action attorney to talk to. I don't do class action lawsuits, but there's an attorney that I know of that does a lot of them and has in the past. And if you'd like to discuss the probability of success on a case like that with a class action attorney, I'd be glad to give you the name of one. You still there? Okay, so I guess Ron hung up there for some reason. If you want to call back, Ron, I'd be glad to talk to you further. Let's go to Brian in Sarasota. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing good, and you?
Good.
So what can I do for you today?
Yeah, I called you once before, but about 5 or 6 years ago, I went through a divorce, and I had some different real estate, but there was one piece of property. It was a condo, which my ex-wife and my name was on the was on the deed and the mortgage. But anyway, through the decree, I was supposed to get her name off the mortgage, and we quick deeded the place, but I could never get her name off that mortgage. So now she's after me about doing it, and I called the bank, and they said they have to do an assumption. It's like $2,000. Is there any other way I could go around doing that?
Well, the mortgage company doesn't have to release her.
I see that they're not being brave.
And the only way you get her name off, the only name you get her name off, basically, is to refinance.
That's it. Yeah, that's what they said. That's why I'm just putting it up for sale, I guess, because I don't want to put the $2,000 or $3,000 across to refinance it, you know.
Are you current on payments?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's been current, 100%, yeah, over the years. I mean, that's what I even told the bank. I said, listen, I had bought the thing in, whatever, like 2007 when everything was crazy. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, the whole place went into foreclosure. I just stood by it. And,
what's the house worth?
Ever since.
What's the house worth now?
About 140. That's what I got to list it. I'm going to list it for.
And what's the mortgage?
About 118 at this point, but it's originally it was $190,000, you know.
I was thinking if you were about halfway down the mortgage, you could probably do a reverse. Are you 65?
I'm 63.
I don't know if I forget if the reverse mortgage age is 62 or 65.
I don't live there, you know. I leave.
Oh, I see.
Out.
Okay, that wouldn't work either then.
Yeah.
All right. Nope. The only answer
there. That's right. Last question. The best thing, I guess, is to sell it. I don't want to put any more money into it. You know what I mean?
Yep. The answer is to refinance. Or do you just get her?
That's the only way to do it, huh?
Yep. And if it's a rental property, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, if you, some producer just says somebody wanted to know about our website, it's, I'll give you the website and the phone number. Our website is www.attypip.com. If you'd like to call our office toll-free number to make an appointment or request our free estate planning poster sheet, which I'll talk a little bit more later, the toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Let's go back to Ron, who's calling.
Yeah, sorry about that. The line got dropped.
Okay, no.
I happened to be driving, but
if you want to email me, give you the phone number or contact information for a class action attorney.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, and then you can check it out personally and see what he says in this case. Okay?
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of class actions out there, but in this case, I have to have some damage, I guess, in order to take it forward.
Well, you have a loss. No, you have a loss. Your payment. But the big argument on airlines is, you had options on how to buy the ticket. You could have paid a little bit more, maybe, with the right to change the flight, or on some circumstances like a death or a funeral or emergency medical things, there are ways you can get a refund. But, you have options on how you buy the policy and consequences on what options you choose. So that would be their argument. And whether or not you have an argument that it's not right that they keep the money because you had to cancel the flight, I think you probably have a less than 50-50 probability of winning a case like that, but you never know. And I'd certainly be glad to give you the name of a class action attorney that can advise you.
Sure, because, they sell the seat. It's not like the seat went unsold now that they have full capacity. So they can't use a loss argument. Plus, like in Pennsylvania, I'm not sure Florida has it, but
they'll just have a contract. They'll have a contract argument, not a loss argument, probably.
Yeah, but Pennsylvania gets around that by they have a state law that, unprovided service, the money either has to go back to the person who paid it or the state.
Yeah.
So
You could talk to your congressman about in the future going forward for the state of Florida to have a similar law.
Right.
And at least you could do something maybe good for everybody, even if you don't win this particular case.
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, though, a lot of these reps, they have they're kind of useless. I mean, I brought the opportunity for the state to transfer some of this agricultural loss for the orange groves into there's a material that you could take in the morning and the evening and it'll cure diabetes, and it can be easily grown in Florida, but I couldn't get anywhere with the state reps, the senators, or the Farm Bureau. So I don't always believe in the political system is because it doesn't respond, but I will get a hold of your office, though.
Okay, very
good. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks for calling.
Great. Thanks. Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Liz in Jacksonville. Hey, Liz, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am, and thank you for taking my call. This question is not for me. It is for all the little people who are only living on Social Security, the elderly. And I heard you say on one of your past programs, someone had called in, if they owe a medical bill, you cited a Florida state law, 222, and I tried to look that up, and there's so many, point this, point that. You stated that it was the Florida statute prevents people from taking money out of a bank, garnishing the Social Security money when they're only living on Social Security to pay for a medical bill. Did I misunderstand that?
No, Florida Statute 222 protects certain assets and Social Security payments, government benefits payments in your homestead are exempt for them to be able to take.
Okay, so in other words, someone living just on a Social Security check that is direct deposit to their bank, which a lot of people have, and they are not even aware that the money is garnished and being taken out to pay for a medical bill. That is against that Florida statute, right?
They can't sue you and take that account, no.
Well, not even sue you. They just go ahead and take it.
Well, they can try to take it or freeze the account, but then be proactive.
What part of that Florida statute, how can I look that up? There were so many different point this, point that.
Well, I don't know the particular...
How can I bring that to someone's attention?
I'd have to look at the statute to tell you the exact paragraph number.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I got disconnected.
No, you're there. All right.
Are you there?
I'm here, but our producer's running around here trying to push another button or something. I'm not sure. Can you hear me now? Nope. All right, can you hear me? I guess not. All right. So just call back. They'll get you reconnected here. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you want to call the show, it's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Gene in Winter Haven. Gene, are you there?
Yes, sir.
What can we do for you?
Many years ago, I had, on my last name, I added an extra T to the end of my name.
Mm-hmm.
And all my records, military, Social Security, everything are listed that way. But after 9/11, when you had to take your birth certificate and everything to get your driver's license renewed,
mm-hmm.
they made me put my driver's license with one T. Is that a problem in upcoming years in regards to anything that would cause me any problems?
Well, how are all your financial accounts titled? Are they with the one T or two Ts?
Two Ts.
And the bank and financial companies did all that not just based on what you told them your name was?
Correct. Everything, like I say, when I was a guest about, I don't know, years ago, I changed it over, and it's always been that way except for 9/11 when I had to change it.
Well, it probably depends on how they do the death certificate one day when you pass away and whether your name on the death certificate is going to match the name on all of your accounts.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. We have a prearranged program with the funeral home, and I really have to check that and see how that's written. I don't remember exactly how they wrote it, but it seems to me they did take my driver's license for that.
Yeah, so it might be that your death certificate is going to have one T and all of your accounts are set up with two Ts. You know, you could do a name change procedure during the court to change it.
Okay.
And that might be the best answer, really, so you'll be consistent on everything.
All right. Now, would I change it to all the records to two Ts instead of one?
It's your preference, I think.
Oh, I see. Okay. Do that in local court.
Well, you could change everything to match your birth certificate and your driver's license. That would be.
See, my wife's name is with two Ts also.
Yeah, but that was, you could go back and change everything to one T, and that's going to match your driver's license, birth certificate, and everything. That would probably be the simplest. If you want to keep the two Ts, you can do a name change process to the court.
Okay.
I think those would be your options.
Could I do an also known as type of thing?
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's going to help you upon death.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, I'll check into how it's spelled on my prearranged arrangements at the funeral home.
Okay, very good.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Let's go back to Liz in Jacksonville. Hey, Liz. Are you there? Okay. All right, if you have a legal question, the phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. You're listening. You can also watch today's show on WeBeamTV.com. WeBeamTV.com. Every other week when I'm in Tampa, they broadcast the show. It's one of the shows on their network, WeBeamTV.com. Also, we're streaming live on Instagram today. And Facebook, actually. So if you'd like to check us out on any of those, just Law Offices of Joseph Pippin. Instagram is just Joseph Pippin. And you can see a live stream of me answering legal questions on the radio. Let's go to Todd in Tampa. Hey, Todd.
Joe, I hope the phones are working there. You're doing a great job and a great service for the community. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
Hey. You're welcome. You're welcome, Joe. I just wanted to, I just wanted to answer the lady's question. You know, again, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you're supposed to get a permit. Everything has to get a permit in Hillsborough County, or if you live in the city of Tampa, you're supposed to have a permit for that work, and that little contractor.
That was my second caller you're talking about, the lady with the
right. Okay, and then he's supposed to be licensed, and the permit's supposed to be there in inspection. When you work, and you know, you do curb, now you're in the right of way, okay, and you have to get permission to do that or anything on your property, so that has to be done. But the guy could file a lien for $15 down at the clerk's office and, you know, and put a notice to owner on there. Now, you know, but, you know, she has legal standing if the guy's not licensed. But people go out and hire unlicensed guys to try and save a dollar, and then the guy rips them off, okay, and then they're standing there, okay? Mm-hmm. So make sure that that contractor's licensed, and, you know, then you have some kind of now, don't get, just because the contractor's license doesn't mean that he's going to do a great job either, because he may be stupid. So you got to be careful about it, but make sure you're supposed to have a permit, and that gives you some recourse, and go from everything needs a permit, Joe. Everything needs a permit. You put an addition on your back, that needs plans and a permit. And if you're going to hire an architect, say, listen, I'll pay you your fee, but you're going to submit the plans, and you're going to make sure that I get the approval so my contractor can go pick them up. Because the architect will hand you a set of plans. Now the hard part is going down and getting it filed and getting it approved by the city or the county or the building department so that you can commence construction. And then there's once the permit is pulled, before the inspector will go out there, there's a notice, you know, there's a notice to owner, okay, form. That means the inspector can come out there and inspect the job. So these are things just to help the citizen out there and go from there. You know, sometimes you buy a piece of property and you think it's commercial and you think you can put a restaurant in there. Well, you better check the zoning, because the zoning, you know, the zoning means everything, okay? Because you may have to go back to rezone and go before the board or city council to allow that change of use. You may have a flower shop in there, and now it's a great corner for a pizza joint. Well, the parking and all the other criteria has to be brought up to code. So I'm just putting that out there. So do your due diligence. Pay an attorney who knows what they're talking about, or get somebody who knows, you know, the ins and outs at the city. God bless you, Joe. Love you, man. And if you ever need a favor, give me a call.
All right. Thank you. All right, let's go to Diana in Sarasota.
Hey, this morning.
Good, and you?
I'm good. I've got a question a little bit for myself, but also to bring people's attention to this and to ask you who I could talk to maybe bring to help other people. It's about landlord-tenant law, and I rented an apartment in downtown Sarasota, a new place. I've moved from out of state. Not a first-time renter. I understand leases and laws and all that. It wasn't managed well at all, and I kept bringing things and documenting its stuff to their attention and talked to the health department, the different things. And so finally I just said, you know, I can't live here anymore. I'm just fed up with this. And I think they wanted me to leave too, because they didn't really like me documenting everything. So we agreed I could leave, break my lease. And I have a letter of offer to terminate the lease. Early termination, no penalties, no anything. And so I totally expected to get my deposit back. I asked them when I gave them my address, you know, am I getting my deposit back? And they said, yeah, there's no issues. And, of course, there were no issues. I'm a good tenant. So I waited more than 30 days, and then I called and said, hey, I didn't get my check yet. And the manager there said, oh, we're going to keep it for your water bill. And I was like, well, that's like 10 times what my water bill ever was. So, no, that's not going to happen. And he's like, yeah, well. And so I said, okay, yeah, I don't know why they're dumb enough to play games with me. And so, number one, I feel like they're keeping other people's deposit against the law, but people aren't aware of the law because it just maybe not as, I don't want to say as knowledgeable as I am, but maybe as a dogged about going after things. So I talked to someone in the state, and they said, you know, they have 30 days. I actually have the information here in front of me. They have 30 days to send you a letter saying why they're going to keep your deposit, or they must return it. And so, number one, because they did not return mine, mm-hmm. I'm worried they're keeping
did
everybody.
Did they tell you why?
No, I haven't received any letter from them. And so I, like I say, he said it, they were keeping it because of my water. But like I said, I told him, well, my water
was it in
never,
writing?
No.
Hey, Diane,
no,
I don't. So I need to. You have about 2 minutes usually here on the show.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So basically, if you didn't get proper notice of why they were keeping your deposit, you can maybe go to small claims court and get the money back. That would be
yes. Or you can, yeah, or you can file a complaint. The Department of Agriculture, I guess that's where your consumer, I can't remember what it's called here. I came from another state.
I think the quickest way to get your money back would be to go to small claims court.
Go to small claims court.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but I'm worried that they're doing this to a lot of people.
Well, so they need to be spanked a little bit, and small claims court
right.
would be the way to do that.
But I'd like somebody to be looking out for everyone else. Is there anyone I can bring the attention of this matter to?
A small claims judgment is a public record.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Thanks for your help.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Scott in Bradenton.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I've got an issue with my roof. 12 years ago, I had my roof redone, and where the drip edge came down on the edge, they did not seal the overlapping pieces. And because that edge was hidden by the soffits, I didn't find it until now.
Mm-hmm. How long ago?
Pardon me?
How long ago did you have it redone?
In 07,
okay.
12 years ago. And there are three places that I've found so far where the roof decking, the plywood roofing underneath the, it's a built-up gravel roof, the plywood has rotted away. One place is probably 2 feet wide of rotten wood. I'm wondering if I've got any recourse at this time, being it's been 12 years against the roofing company.
Well, the standard statute of limitations on a contract is 5 years.
Mm, okay.
Now, whether or not you can claim you had no way to know what the damage was until the damage actually occurred, it's tricky on when the statute of limitations actually starts and how much time you have during the process and when you should have known something.
Right.
But the standard statute of limitations on the contract's 5 years. It also might be governed something in your contract you signed with the roofer on issues like that. But what I would do is to... You still have the contract or a copy of it?
I'm not sure. I found the receipt in my files from when it was done, and that's how I know it was in 07.
Yeah, so if you can find the contract...
Really
Either way, you probably should make an appointment with a real estate litigation attorney, but if you can find the contract, I'd take that to the meeting and tell them you understand this a long time ago, but you had no way of knowing what the damage was until they actually found it, you know, and give them the date you actually saw it or found it.
Right.
And then see what they say. You know?
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, let's go to Susan in Virginia Beach. Hey, Susan.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Now, my wife and I are from Richmond, Virginia. We spent a lot of time at Virginia Beach.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
There's a camp, a military camp right at the end of the beach. Oops. We lost Susan.
Down by Port Story.
Yeah, and used to go there. I was in the Virginia National Guard for 11 years, actually. And I used to have access to that camp, and my father-in-law was in military, so we used to have a cottage once in a while there at the beach. So Virginia Beach brings back good memories.
Oh, fantastic, and thank you for your service. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Now, how are you listening to the show?
I am calling because I'm actually a complainant in an EEO case. I'm a federal employee. And this has been in process now for about 18, 19 months. And the law firm that is representing me had an attorney who was handling my case for about the first 14 or 15 months of the case. And she stepped down a few months ago. And we went to, you know, we were really well, you know, getting well into the case. And then the agency that I filed against, their attorney filed a motion to dismiss and said that in early 2018, the attorney handling my case filed my paperwork 4 days late. The judge just came back with basically granting the agency their request to dismiss my case. And I'm wondering what I should expect. I've not heard back from my attorney in the past few days on this at all. And I'm just wondering what the way ahead would be in my situation.
Well, it's kind of unethical for me to jump into a case when you're represented by another attorney. I would guess the attorney will discuss with you whether it should be appealed or not, and then discuss the probability of success on an appeal. I would just guess that would be part of it, at least part of the next conversation. But, you know, you've had an attorney involved in the case a long time, so I can't really jump in ethically and give you any advice, you know, other than that probably.
So it would just be an expectation to go to an appeal at that stage?
Well, once you get a ruling on a case, then that would be the next step. If you don't like the ruling or think you have justification to overcome the ruling, would be
okay,
an appeal.
Well, that's good information. Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Sarah in Tampa.
Hi, this call is about an inherited house that needs to be probated. There are three heirs, and one is being uncooperative and has cut off communications. Can a probate be completed by just two of the heirs? And is the process different from a regular probate? And does that cost more?
All right, has the probate been started?
No.
And was there a will?
No.
Well, two of the three heirs can petition the courts to choose one of the two as the personal representative of the estate.
Okay.
So that would be the thing to do, I think. You know, we do probate in our office, so basically, what we would generally need on a case like that would be the addresses of the three beneficiaries and an original death certificate. We prefer the short form, but we can use the long if we have to. And then the address of the property and anything else that might need to go through probate would be all we would need to get started.
Okay, so the other person, the third person party, can just be eliminated.
Not as an
so
heir.
So they can be completely.
No, not as
completed with it.
Not as a beneficiary, though.
Oh, okay.
But to get the probate started and get the house sold and things like that, you can do it without the cooperation of the third party.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Hey, if you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, we can easily mail that to you. But it's one of three ways how you request it. You can call our toll-free office number and say, I heard Joe on the radio, and I'd like to receive that free estate planning poster sheet. It's a double-sided sheet with five estate planning articles on one side and all of our contact information on the other, you know, along with the website and radio shows. And the toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request for it. I need your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y, abbreviations for attorney, A-T-T-Y-P-I-P. Those are the first three letters of my last name, Pippin, with a P, P-I-P, .com. All right, let's go to Chris calling from Hudson. Hey, Chris.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Okay, my problem is that we had a couple of movers move us.
Mm-hmm.
And they damaged our furniture, and they stole thousands of dollars in property.
Mm-hmm.
They paid only $200 for damages, and they gave us a formula to come up with what they owed us for damages, and it came to around $800. They said it wasn't in stone, though. So basically, they just gave us $200. I contacted the BBB. He said that he would give me $250 more for the furniture, and I could never ask for money again or post anything on public media. And one of the guys that he sent to my house was a career criminal.
Hmm. Well, that's not a good deal.
No.
So did you sign and accept anything?
On the day of the move, at the end of the move, they had us sign what they said is their contract. So, yes, we did sign that.
How did you find out about the guy that came to the house that he was a criminal?
Because I reported it to the police.
Well,
and the detective told me he was a career criminal.
I see. Did you accept money, and did you sign a release or anything?
We accepted the $200. And, let's see, the contract, it did have several places to sign. On it.
All right, so if you filed a lawsuit against the company, how much would that be for?
Well, are you thinking about small claims court?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm wanting to know if it's under $5,000.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it was probably really over $5,000. But the small claims, I know they do claims up to $5,000.
Yeah, so even if your damages are more than five, but just a little bit more than five, you could still go into small claims court and ask for the $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wouldn't pay an attorney, and then you would have a judgment, and then the question would become whether you can collect anything on the judgment,
mm-hmm.
which you may or may not. The company might not have any assets to go against.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have some trucks you might be able to force, but when you sue a corporation, you need an attorney, though. So then that brings in another element to whether or not it's going to be even worth your while to do that. All right. Chris, I'm almost out of time on the show, but I'd be glad to talk to you off the air if you like.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. You've been listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're on every week at 8 o'clock, just 8:02 to 8:52. And we're here every week to do the show, and more than glad to help you. If you have a problem, why worry about it? Why worry about it, and why not call the show? And your question that you call could help a lot of other people that are listening. And if you ever have a show, or have a question, refer people to the show. If you'd like to contact our office, we don't charge anything for the first appointment to review existing documents you might have, like estate planning documents. We have a flat fee schedule pretty much on all estate planning documents. That can be found on our website at attypip.com. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. I'm going to try to squeeze in one last caller here, Terry in Lakeland.
Hi. Good morning.
Yeah, probably have less than a minute here. But go ahead.
Well, maybe I'll have to call next week.
What's your question?
Because it'll probably take more time to do. Can you sue a hospital that has never, they were supposed to send paperwork over like 10 years ago, and they never did it, and now the person, the information has surfaced, and this person is in terrible condition. Can they go back and sue a hospital for not giving those records when that person applied for Social Security disability 10 years ago, which they did not get because that information?
Well, okay. You're right. I probably shouldn't have taken the call. Why don't you call back next week when I have a little more time to go over that with you?
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, we're here every week during this time period. It starts at 8:02 on Saturday mornings. Hope you have a safe weekend, and so long.